Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening to the show. Thanks so much for making us part of your day. Live from Los Angeles, I'm Doug Gottlieb, filling in for Colin Cowherd on the iHeartRadio app, on Fox Sports Radio, and here TV side on Fox Sports One. Hope you're ready for a great weekend. We do have some sports, right? NASCAR, well, golf, apparently adult league hoop in Oklahoma City. Not quite fully back, but phase two in most places, phase three in others. Welcome in. Greg Jennings is going to join me, and we will talk about Drew Brees' second apology and his thoughts on a Kyle Shanahan statement about Jimmy G you're not going to want to miss. In 1 hour from right now, the great unknown in the upcoming NBA playoffs. Matter of fact, let's start with the NBA playoffs. 2 months ago, Dr. Fauci was all the rave. 2 months ago, there were presumably a potential for no sports at all in 2020. 2 months ago, people were fixated by the Tiger King. Right? 2 months ago, it was like, hey, this is kind of cool. I'm going for two or three or four walks a day. Dogs were happy. Families seemed to slow down a little bit as we actually had conversations at the dinner table, which we were all sitting at. Somebody came up with an idea of a drive-by birthday party. Whoever you are, I salute you. 2 months ago was a hell of an idea. Remember 2 months ago, maybe even 2.5 months ago, having an NFL draft is a bad idea. It's a bad look, considering we're all under quarantine. 2 months ago, because we found out what this company called Zoom is, people started having Zoom virtual happy hours. It is, in fact, 5 o'clock somewhere. 2 months ago, suddenly you're like, wait, why is everybody going after all the toilet paper? That was all 2 months ago. 2 months ago, it was a really smart idea to have a bubble city where NBA teams could go, finish up the regular season, play in the playoffs, decide a champion. That was 2 months ago. You know the expression, life comes at you fast? Well, Adam Silver and the NBA, they have unleashed a plan that in 2 months will conclude the NBA season. And so we're supposed to believe that LeBron and Kawhi and Giannis and the rest of the NBA superstar brethren are going to play at an optimum level when they're in the same hotel, in the same, not even city, in the same offshoot of a resort for 3 months. This is not an average plan. This is not a disappointing plan. This is a terrible plan. One, just the idea that anyone wants to spend 2 or 3 months in the same hotel room, even if it's a villa. And two, maybe most importantly, but have you looked around? I'm not telling you that we are completely out of the woods with COVID-19. I am not a scientist. I am not a doctor. I do not know about the second wave. What I do know is that this was a 2-month-old plan that isn't going to go into effect until 2 months. And what we have seen is mostly very good news where the curve has been flattened and the rest of the world is getting back to work. Meanwhile, if you've watched the NBA, what happens every season to your favorite team? They go on one long road trip, right? There's the San Antonio famously goes on their road trip, the rodeo road trip, right? That's famous. The Lakers went on like a 14-day road trip. Do you remember who they played at the end of the road trip? They played the Milwaukee Bucks. And do you remember what they all said? No gas, no juice. Have you ever stayed in a hotel for more than a week? It's kind of cool, right? Because you go down and the concierge guy, you actually know him by name. You have the usual when you sit down for breakfast, right? You know what time everything's open. You have your favorite people who are doormen. You have your place where you know to pick up the Uber. You have your spots. Trust me, I've done it for the last decade or so, going to Super Bowls, going to Final Fours. You're in town for about a week. Then you get to about day seven. You're like, you know what I'm ready for? To get the hell home, right? And that's what's going to happen in the NBA. So in addition to the fact that the level of play is not going to be great, not just because there's no fans and because you're going to have a limited amount of juice in the building and for teams because they're staying in the same place and they're playing games that are supposed to mean something but feel kind of hollow. What happens when a team gets down 3-0 in an NBA best of five playoff series? You know, they used to chant 1-2-3 Cancun. Now it's 1-2-3 home. Let's get the hell out of here. We collected our per diem. We made some money back. We got ourselves in the second round of the playoffs. Now I just want to get home because even though I was quarantined for the better part of 2 months, being quarantined in a hotel when everybody else in the free world is out and about, including Disney World, which is going to at least be partially open when they're there, it's more than laughable, right? You're going to feel like you're a bubble boy. Everyone else is riding their scooters and riding their skateboards and bikes down the street, and mom won't let you come out and play. That's what NBA players are going to feel like. Like, the first side to it is you took so long to figure out this plan, and it's so honestly dated. And I know you're like, 2 months old is dated, but that's the way it works. It's like the same way with music. I know the box is still number, I think it's still number one, right? My son updates me on this. But my son will be looking at iTunes and on the charts, and he'll say, that song's old. And I'll be like, that song is 2 months old. That's old, Dad. You don't understand how things change, right? Because people can make music now in the privacy of their own homes. They have their own setup. They have their own computer. They can mix it. They can send it over to a producer. Like, all this stuff can be digitally done. You don't need a big studio anymore to record music. So there's constantly new stuff coming out. That's the same way we should look at ideas with professional sports. 2 months ago, don't get me wrong, this was an idea that had it gone into effect this weekend, you'd be like, you know, that's pretty smart. Just be smart, roll it out, maybe then leave it open to the possibility of playing in home cities. Forget about the fact they're going to compete against football and lose. Forget about the fact they're going to compete against college football and probably lose. You're also fighting against the U.S. Open in golf. You name the sporting event, World Series, Major League Baseball. If they play, that'll be the time for the playoffs. Forget about all that. Just think about the lack of quality of play. Do you want an NBA championship decided when two teams just can't wait to get the heck out of there, are playing in an empty arena when, by that time, college football is likely to have full or partially full stadiums, the NFL the same? I understand that the world changes quickly and that as it takes time to turn these massive ships around and figure out a way to transport, what, it's 35 people in a traveling party, there's 22 teams, 800 people roughly, right? Like, that's a lot of hotel rooms, that's a lot of logistics. I understand. But you have to take a breath and think about it. In sports, when you stay somewhere too long, like, this is not like going out to dinner in Europe where let's just stay for whenever. Like, you go in Europe, you go to dinner, it's like 8:39, you don't start eating until 10, you start drinking, and you don't walk out until 1 in the morning. But even then, you really want to be the last one at the party? 3 months, that's how long you would stay in Orlando in the same villa if you're going to win an NBA championship. I'm not saying it doesn't mean a ton to the players. I'm not saying they wouldn't play hard. and that when they won the championship, whoever it is, Bucks, Lakers, Clippers, it wouldn't be a monumental achievement to overcome not just the other team, but the coronavirus, the layoff, the buildup, the tournament, playing in a neutral site. All of these things would make it a great achievement. But a blind man can see this is incredibly flawed, incredibly dated. I got an idea. What if, for your birthday, we have all your friends come and drive by and honk the horns? Yeah, people have been doing that for like 2 months. We actually can have a birthday party outside with less than 10 people. What if your daughter dyes or cuts your hair? Yeah, I've actually already done that. Got it. We're going to be home for a while. Let's get a puppy. Everybody in the neighborhood already got the puppy. They're already house trained. Like, they're all going for walks. And Little League starting back up. Summer League hoops starting back up. I watched Trey Young play in an adult league. You know, there's like a league in Oklahoma City. I was watching on social media. And in addition to the fact that Trey Young was just torching these dudes, like you cannot believe because, well, he's a young all-star NBA player. Regardless of that part, look in the stands. I understand it probably is a bit too early, but no one in Oklahoma City is wearing a mask. No one is socially distancing. And though the numbers continue to grow, active cases do not mean people in critical condition. There's a lot of asymptomatic people. I'm not declaring it over. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a governor. I'm not a mayor. None of these things. What I'm telling you, though, is that the world has decided that quarantine on many levels is either ending or has ended. And the only one who hasn't gotten the memo is the NBA. And they're going to ruin what could be an incredible tournament to conclude their season.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I saw this story from Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan, first, he's growing a magnificent quarantine beard. Really, really, really impressive. He's always been a good hat guy. He's got good hair. Young, sharp coach who, yes, they blew the 28-3 lead in Atlanta, but he did get in the 28-3 lead. You know, he made Kirk Cousins into Kirk Cousins, and now he's made Jimmy Garoppolo into a Super Bowl quarterback NFC champion. We got to remember, though, that Jimmy Garoppolo's future in San Francisco was at least partially in doubt this offseason when Tom Brady's name was bandied about. Brady, of course, grew up in Northern California. He's always wanted to play for the Niners and thought of finishing his career with the Niners. And John Lynch, of course, is their GM and former colleague here at Fox, admitted that they did kick around the idea of Brady. Here, I believe in his basement, is the head coach of the Niners, Kyle Shanahan, defending the honor and potential trajectory of his quarterback.
When you have to talk to Jimmy about one of the best quarterbacks of all time being available, I know Jimmy has the goal to be that. And I know Jimmy, I believe Jimmy has the ability to be that. And that's what both of us are going for. And if we can get him there and he has the ability to do it, we're going to be pretty happy with who we have for a long time.
Now, look, I believe you can be pretty happy with Jimmy Garoppolo. I think you can win with Jimmy Garoppolo. My big hang up on Garoppolo is when he missed Emmanuel Sanders, he missed so badly and missed long, and it's an explosive play when you set up and wait for the entire game for a look and it could have won you the Super Bowl. It's one thing to miss, but he missed so badly and missed long. Instead, if you miss short, you got a chance to pass interference. That you have to believe that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch had a conversation or two or three or five saying, did he miss that because just in the moment he overthrew it, or did he miss that because Jimmy Garoppolo is going to throw one bad pick a game, which he did in the Super Bowl, and when push comes to shove, he just doesn't have it. Not everybody has it. Like, that's the thing that we talk about clutch and, you know, Skip talks about clutch gene, and Colin talks about who's clutch, and Nick Wright tries to use stats, but everyone who follows sports understands, and people who play and coach sports understand even more acutely that some guys just don't have it. Whatever the it is to find a way to win games, that, you know, when push comes to shove, my late father likes to say nut cutting time, right? They just make a play. They just find a way. And some guys don't. That's why wins and losses, though you can't directly correlate a team's wins and losses to a quarterback, you look at one score wins and losses, and you kind of can. So you can tell me that, hey, Jimmy Garoppolo's got a chance to be one of the best of all time. Is that why you let him throw 8 times in the NFC Championship game? And you can stop with the, hey, we did what it took to win the game. That game was over at halftime. If Kyle Shanahan not only believed in his quarterback, or maybe he needs to learn from this as a young head coach to get Jimmy Garoppolo to believe in himself, he had to let him throw in the second half. Instead, he becomes the butt of all jokes. Look, if they really thought he had a chance to be one of the greats of all time, on first and second down with a full boat of timeouts at the end of the first half, wouldn't you have let him throw the football? I understand he had thrown an interception the first half. If he could be one of the greats of all time, and you're playing against a Chiefs defense that, it's not like they're the 85 Bears, okay? You wouldn't let him throw the football? Your actions tell us that you're not really sure what Jimmy Garoppolo has beneath the hood. That's why you kicked around the idea of Tom Brady. Right? Because though Tom Brady couldn't run the bootlegs, couldn't run the zone blocking scheme, stretch run game, just not that athletic, may not be able to have the type of explosive games that Garoppolo could potentially have in the future. If Jimmy Garoppolo has Emmanuel Sanders running free in the end zone in the Super Bowl, he gets it a little bit closer than 10 yards, right? Like, you could have kicked the ball closer to Emmanuel Sanders than what Jimmy Garoppolo threw. Brady might not have it for most of the season, but you do have confidence that when push comes to shove, he has it. You don't know on Garoppolo. No one knows, because to this point, we haven't seen it. And until we do, and especially considering how you call plays, please don't go over the top with the praise. Don't tell me one of the best of all time. Every quarterback wants to be one of the all-time greats. You didn't have to say it, and you didn't have to say that, oh, I think you can do it, because you don't really believe it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
There is the outside chance, that Kevin Durant comes back and plays this year in the NBA. And by this year, I mean whatever we want to call this extension of the regular season, which I don't love because the quality of play probably isn't great. And they're going to be sequestered in these either villas or hotel rooms for the better part of 2 to 3 months if they're any good. But why wouldn't Kevin Durant play? Right? First of all, if you know anything about Kevin Durant, that dude loves ball. Right? Basketball is what he does. I know Rich Kleiman is his business manager and friend, and he diversified his portfolio. And, you know, he wants to make him into the type of, you know, millionaire, billionaire, magnate that anyone in their right mind could only dream of becoming. But he's got all that loot. He can spread it around. And he's done very well during his time in Silicon Valley. But Kevin Durant is a baller, is a hooper. How do you know if you're a hooper? In the back of your car, you got basketball shoes, shorts, a basketball? KD does. Scott Brooks told me a story once. Scotty used to be his coach in Oklahoma City, that after their first playoff run, they played the Lakers, lost to the Lakers. And he had his exit meeting, you know, the next day. And he said, Kevin, what are you going to do this summer? He's like, I don't know. I can't wait to get back after. He's like, listen, it's been a long year. I want you to call this travel agent and go fly somewhere, get away. Don't touch a basketball for 3 weeks, for a month. You can watch it. But you've been doing a lot. Your body needs time to heal. Promise me you'll get away and you won't go. And he's like, no problem, coach. So Kevin Durant flies home to D.C., and the next day, Scotty Brooks calls him, texts him, no answer, no response. Calls him, texts him, no answer, no response. Finally, about 3.5 hours later, he calls him, breathing heavily, and says, yo, I want to get back to you. I was just hooping. Right? He literally finished the NBA season, did his exit meetings the next day, flew back home, and the following day, he was playing ball. Why? That's Kevin Durant. His post-practice workouts are legendary. It's one of the reasons that both teams that he played with would try and keep their practices shorter, because KD not only liked to work out and liked to play and liked to get better, he liked to get all his guys with him. So keep in mind that's his mindset. And if he doesn't play, he's not going to play competitive basketball till January. That's 19 months removed from having surgery. Any physical therapist or surgeon will tell you that if he's healthy now, which he was basically pronounced healthy before quarantine, why wouldn't he be healthy through a couple weeks of training camp or a month of training camp and 8 ramp-up games? It doesn't mean he has to come out and play 45 minutes and drop 40 points for the Brooklyn Nets to win. But think of how it changes the landscape of the sport. There's also Kyrie Irving, who I know Kyrie Irving is oft injured, but the injury that he sustained that caused him to finish the rest of his season was a scope on his shoulder. You could have Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant on a team that was already going to the playoffs. Got DeAndre Jordan to protect the rim. You got Spencer Dinwiddie, who's a do-everything guard who can play point, can play two. You add Kevin Durant, like, talk about hitting the lottery. Jock Vaughn, who's their interim head coach, could wake up and have the two best players in any series in the Eastern Conference. Any series. Kind of interesting that Caesars Sportsbook on Wednesday lowered Brooklyn's odds to win a championship from 750-1 to 60-1. I feel like Brent Musburger. Vegas always knows. Our friends in the desert. Laddie. All right. Caesars director of trading, Jeff Davis, said, quote, I would rather be cautious and deal 61 than get hurt when I hear the news of Kyrie and Durant returning. It's crazy. I don't want to post 150-1 odds. The problem is if you take a bet of a couple thousand dollars, you know, $2,000, it pays $300,000. And you're stuck if Durant is good. Like, let's remember last year, around this time, Game 6 NBA Finals, for a short period of time, the only game he played in, he was the best player on the court. The Warriors didn't lose because Kevin Durant faded. Now, we don't know what he'll look like coming out of an Achilles tendon tear. But 13 months right now, and it'll be, you know, close to 15 months removed when they'd actually play games, Kevin Durant's good to go. Unless that surgery was butchered, which it wasn't, why wouldn't he be cleared? And since he'll be cleared, the argument against playing cleared players has always been, you know, like when Derrick Rose was cleared to play right before the end of the regular season, did not play in the playoffs with the Chicago Bulls, and people went crazy. And my point then is the opposite of my point now. Or maybe it's the same point, but it's a different subject. Point is this, for Derrick Rose to sit out the entire year, join the team getting ready for the playoffs, play in the playoffs, That's merging onto the Autobahn. That's going 0 to 100. Something's going to go wrong, right? Like when you punch your car, that's when you run down your tires. And oh yeah, by the way, you can't really control it if you have a car that's got a lot of power. But if you slow roll if you merge into, you know, 10 mile an hour, 15 mile an hour traffic, that's what you have with Kevin Durant. He would be joining the Brooklyn Nets, who haven't exactly been active in their own right. Not every player has been working out every day. I'm guessing KD has. One of the things about rehabbing players is some of them have been able to use their facilities because they're still rehabbing. So the best player in the NBA over the past, the two previous NBA finals could be healthy. And do you think the NBA wants a healthy scratch? How does that look to their league partners, the TV partners? Zion's going to play. Kawhi might even play that one back-to-back they have. I guarantee 35 wants to play. And think of how it changes the landscape. As of now, they would match up with the Toronto Raptors in the first round. And I know, Raptor fan, you're sitting there going, Pascal Siakam, Kyle Lowry. Never underestimate the heart of a champion. Let's go cliche on you. And I would say Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant are better players than anybody you got. And the truth is, there isn't a team in the West that would have two better, in the East, excuse me, that would have two better star players. And as much as you want, I want to say, look, Brooklyn, this is, it's not right that they would get in. What do you mean it's not right? They were on the roster. Kyrie played some of the season. Do they benefit from the extra time spent away in quarantine? Sure, but that by no means, that's just luck. This was Adam Silver last night on Inside the NBA talking about the potential return of injured players.
We're going to allow it, and I'd only say, Charles, and this has been the back and forth with our teams, there's so much here that's not fair, and I think we were choosing among multiple bad alternatives, given the pandemic we're dealing with. I think ultimately, to the extent a team has a healthy roster and those players are able to come back, they are eligible to play.
The two teams that could and should benefit the most from the time away in quarantine and the training camp and the build-up games, the Brooklyn Nets, because they could have one. Jock Vaughn didn't get a chance to put in any of his own stuff, right? He's simply running Kenny Atkinson stuff. But you could have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. That's an upgrade. I love Spencer Dinwiddie. I love Caris LeVert. Those are upgrades. And by the way, those guys don't have to go away. They can still play. They can all play together. And then there's the Clippers, right? What were the questions about the Clippers? Could Paul George, Kawhi Leonard stay or be healthy? And what about their cohesion? Because essentially half the season, they didn't play without one or two of their stars. Now you get a second training camp. You get more games to play together. And the likelihood of them all being healthy, huge win. Huge win. If you ask Kevin Durant, he'll want to play. And if he doesn't play, it's because somebody's holding him out with some thought that he could get injured again. And the truth is, if you asked any doctor, unless the surgery was completely butchered, 15 months with a training camp and some ramp-up games, not having to play every minute and win every game by yourself, he's fine. And if he's fine and if he plays and if you add Kyrie Irving, it dramatically changes the Eastern Conference.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Let's get to the Herd Global Satellite Network as we welcome in a Super Bowl champion, friend of the show. You see him on Fox Sports and Fox Sports 1, Greg Jennings. Looking all swole in front of his jerseys. Greg, look, I want to start with the NBA because you, like me, love the league, follow the league, have opinions on the league. And I understand why the preliminary plan was the bubble. But in addition to other things, like 3 months with just your dudes around, you're going to end up hating your best friend. Like, that doesn't work. I remember I talked to the coaches at Duke 1 year, and they played in China and Dubai, like, in October. And then they lost early in the NCAA tournament. And I was like, well, what happened to you guys? You guys faded down the stretch. He's like, you know what? We were around each other too much. Do you like this plan for the NBA that's been made now? It feels like it's been made 2 months ago, but it's going to play out in 2 months.
Yeah, I actually do like the plan. And one of the reasons why I would kind of come back at you when it comes to what they're doing and how they're doing it as a destination and the guys being around each other so long for a period of time. No one in history, or I shouldn't say history, but no one that's playing in the league right now to date has ever gone through something like this and then wanted to play what the sport that they love so desperately and so bad, no one's going to be thinking about, oh man, I'm going to have to spend 3 months with just the guys. They just want to get back on the hardwood, whether there's fans. Yes. Does that play a role? Of course, but that's not the focus. That's not your mentality right now. You just want an opportunity to accomplish and finish what you set out to do. And that's to potentially win an NBA championship. If you're any team that has a shot, and from what we're seeing, the format, so many teams have a shot. So I think it's going to be exciting, and they're just going to be simply ecstatic to be back doing what they love to do.
Oh, I think they'll be ecstatic to be back when they have training camp and they have the first 8 games and maybe into the playoffs a little bit. But when you start to, like, you're there for 3 months, what's the longest you've ever stayed in one hotel?
Probably a week and a half, almost 2 weeks. But Doug, what you have to realize is we're talking as if we haven't all been in one location. Yes, it's been our own homes, or for some, maybe not even, but we've been quarantined already. So this is the norm.
I understand, but now you're in a world where everyone else isn't quarantined and you're back into quarantine. I don't know how that works with the mind.
They're not going to see it as the fact that they're quarantined all over again. You're just not.
Okay.
You are going to appreciate the fact that we can get back to what is a glimpse of normalcy for us in playing a sport that brings so many people so much joy and frees the mind and just becomes an escape for not only us as performers and athletes, but for novice fans, for individuals who look for these outlets to get away from what's going on in our everyday lives.
All right, let's talk about what's going on. Drew Brees apologized yesterday in written form. Today he apologized in video form on Instagram. From the answer to a question about protesting the flag potentially in this coming year to the apologies, what's your take on the Drew Brees thing?
You know, my take yesterday before he issued the apology was one of, I felt that it was callous and selfish. And then once he issued the apology, I'm an individual that will accept that. I'm not one that's saying that you forget all of that, but you understand that a guy has the opportunity to either apologize or not apologize. And he took the high road of apology, and you must move forward if you're a teammate of Drew Brees.
Like, to me, it struck me as lacking empathy, right? Because he went into almost like he was a politician, went into his stock answer about what the flag means to him, which I'll be honest, he has every right to have the flag mean what the flag means to him. The problem was the timing, the lack of feeling and warmth and understanding of what else is going on. So I think that's, but there are others, and look, I'm not black, so I don't know how it lands with you. Was it so bad that this will forever change how you look and how others feel about Drew Brees?
Well, I wouldn't say for me personally it's going to change my complete understanding and knowledge of Drew Brees and relationship, the small relationship that I do have with Drew Brees, simply because as a teammate, anytime you've spent that amount of time with an individual, you tend to know pretty much who they are, or you have an idea of who they are. And in terms of football, Drew made a mistake, and he didn't say anything that was wrong per se, but his timing was not right. And what I mean by that is Drew Brees is a quarterback. He is playing in an ultimate team sport. And so if any individual who is on the field with him is thinking of anything outside of winning the game and what we can do to win the game, then he doesn't in that moment want anything to do with them. And that's all I'm saying when it comes to my vantage point and what I was able to hear and digest from his words. You weren't in the game in that moment, Drew. You were talking about something that's not relevant right now. And that's where the disappointment for me enters in, because Drew, again, as I mentioned, he's an ultimate team sport player. He's at the top in one of the highest regarded positions at quarterback. You must remain locked in. And if you participate, in which he did to a degree, whatever, in a blackout Tuesday, you've identified that you know what's going on. So you know we're in the fight. You know what the agenda is. So let's stay focused on the agenda and the task at hand.
Yeah, it was interesting because he actually had talked about it in other answers in the same interview, and that he went to an answer that wasn't really about how the question was asked, and it struck me as odd as well. Greg Jennings, our guest, longtime wide receiver in the National Football League, Super Bowl champion, of course, colleague here at Fox Sports as an NFL analyst. Let me play what Kyle Shanahan was doing an interview, and he had this to say about Jimmy Garoppolo.
When you have to talk to Jimmy about one of the best quarterbacks of all time being available, I know Jimmy has the goal to be that. And I believe Jimmy has the ability to be that. And that's what both of us are going for. And if we can get him there and he has the ability to do it, we're going to be pretty happy with who we have for a long time.
So it strikes me that first Drew Brees backpedaling because of his comment and apologizing. This is the Niners saying, like, yeah, we may have talked about Tom Brady, but we think Jimmy Garoppolo can be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I see the smile. Do you buy it?
I don't buy it. I don't buy it. And this is a quarter. Kyle Shanahan is a very smart, relatable young coach. He gets it. If he has an opportunity to what looks like to him to make an improvement, he's going to do it. And he saw that potentially in Tom Brady. But when you have, and you know what he just said, you have someone within your house and your fold that has the potential to be an all-time great, the all-time great, you don't consider removing that piece. You understand it may take time, but I'm not moving that piece. That piece stays until I'm completely forced to either rid myself of it or what I thought does not manifest. And so for him to now say that, you didn't truly feel like that, and you don't truly feel like that, because if you had, and if you do, you would have never considered offering that piece up and trying to acquire what you thought was better. You don't do it. Yeah. And so I'm not buying it. I get it. I know why. And he's a quarterback coach as well as an offensive coordinator, as well as a head coach. You have to be on the side of your players and make sure your players know that I have your best interest at heart. But as we all saw, he had the team's best interest at heart. He and John Lynch, when it came to the potential acquisition of Tom Brady.
When you played, were you better when you were mad? Were you better when you were hungry, when you're fed, when you were like in a zen state, where you were calm? Like, what was the mood that you played your best football in?
For me, I think it was more, if I was to relate to one of those words, it would be more of a zen state. If I'm mad, then sometimes that can become a distraction. Mm-hmm. If I'm hungry, I think being in a zen state, it creates a hunger, it creates a thirst and a desire to fulfill whatever it is you've envisioned yourself fulfilling and playing out. And so that zen state is, in my opinion, personally for me, was the best place for me to be. I'm not too high. Yeah. I'm not too low. I'm ready to go, though.
I ask you that because I kind of feel like Aaron Rodgers plays best when he's ticked off. And I think this whole between the Jordan Love thing and look, you know, he's very much supported his teammates on social media, but I think he uses everything discussed, everything as fuel. And now he has kind of legit fuel. I think this can really help the Packers, the fact that they drafted Jordan Love and that he even admitted he wasn't all that jazzed about not getting a weapon. Is that accurate that he plays better when he's ticked off?
Yeah, we've seen it. We've seen it when his back has been against the wall and that team's playoff berth was against the wall. And we go back to the season a few years ago when he issued the statement of relax. he knew right then and there, I got to back these words. And he was really, he was willing and ready made to back those words to the fullest. It was just a matter of everyone coming on board, and that's what great players do. They find a way to really tap into not only themselves emotionally, but everyone else around them emotionally. So they feel like, yeah, they slighted all of us, not just you, Aaron. They're not just doubting you. They're slighting all of us. They're saying that we don't have what it takes. They're saying that we can't accomplish this. And so with you slighting Aaron, or and it's not a slight. They're just doing what they feel like it's best to move forward if and when he decides to move on.
Yep.
And be prepared for that. But that's not how players see it.
I know.
If a player is drafted of your position, you're like, okay, I see what you're doing, but I have to do something about it to make sure you know I'm going nowhere.
Bruce Arians says, hey, you don't learn anything on the sidelines, which I mean, I think most of us agree with. But the Tua thing is interesting, right? Because he's been hurt a lot. And you have Fitzpatrick, and it's not like the Dolphins, we think they're playing for a Super Bowl this year. I mean, maybe that division is fairly open. The Bills are probably the best team. We'll see about the Jets. If you're the Dolphins, what's your thought process on if and when you play Tua this year?
My thought process, I'm going to let it play out. And if I have the opportunity and the luxury to allow him to gain experience from Ryan Fitzpatrick and start him, and if Tua surpasses him, then so be it. Insert him. But if I absolutely have the luxury to let him sit back and absorb and learn and be more educated and have more time to develop and to see the speed of the game, to understand it before he actually is thrown in the fire, if he's more well equipped to handle the fire, he's going to be better suited for it. That doesn't mean that he wouldn't perform well if he does get thrown into it, but I think every coach would rather sit a player unless he just outright shows, I am ready to go. And I think that's what a coach from the outside and just all of us from the outside looking in will disregard, because we don't have to truly make that decision like the Miami Dolphins.
He wears a size medium shirt, okay? He might not pass the Fox Sports PED test, but he is a great guy and a two-time Pro Bowler. He's Greg Jennings joining us from somewhere from Chateau Jennings with the jerseys hanging in the background. G, have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it. You too, Doug.